Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Football Focus Podcast brought to you by Tommy's Pizza 2 in Cranston. I'm William Gagan, joined by Kevin Pomeroy, as always, and we are here to talk about football. We are now kind of into the thick of the high school football season, it seems like. Getting some cool nights out there. Football feels like fall, and ready to talk about another exciting week. We'll start with our game of the week, and that's Tolman visiting Hendricken in a Division I showdown that I think should be a really good game, probably the best game on the slate around the state this week.
Yeah, we're lucky enough to have one of our teams playing in it because there aren't a ton of great games around the state. But yeah, I think this one stands above the rest as a really, really, really important game for both teams in Division I. Tolman comes in with, you know, an 0-2 record in their first season in Division I, but I think that's a bit misleading, you know, because they played Cranston East, who's undefeated, and they played LaSalle, who's the consensus top team in the state and is also undefeated. So that's where their two losses come from, and now they get to play Hendricken, who is also undefeated, is ranked number 2 in the media poll, and has looked great so far to start the season. So a tough schedule for Tolman to open the year, and for Hendricken, you know, a chance to maybe bury Tolman a little bit and get their first real marquee win of the year.
Yeah, definitely, because Hendricken has played South Kingstown and East Providence, two teams that, you know, so far the way things are shaking out look like they may be kind of near the bottom of the division. So this is Hendricken's, like you said, first real chance to establish themselves and really beat one of the better teams. Tolman's situation reminds me a lot of Cranston East 2 years ago when they moved up to Division I and they had to play a bunch of tough teams right in a row, and they ended up, they did get buried, and I think they finished 4-4 after an 0-4 start. Yep. So Tolman is in kind of that same boat where they're having just this really tough schedule to start it off with East and LaSalle. But they obviously will be viewing this Hendricken game as a chance to stop that trend and say, all right, we are as good as people think we are, and we can hang in here.
Yeah, it's only the third week of division play, but you already can start seeing teams separating and breaking up a little bit. And you can already start thinking playoffs a little bit, especially for a team that is 0-2 like Tolman. Because right now you kind of have the haves and the have-nots as it's been going. You know, LaSalle, Hendricken, Cranston East, all undefeated. Portsmouth is 1-1. They looked really, really good last week against Cranston West, and their one loss is to LaSalle in a game where they were competitive. So they look like they're in that top group, even though they're not unbeaten. And then you have Tolman and Barrington kind of in that middle area. Tolman 0-2, like we already said. Barrington's 1-1. But if Tolman's going to be able to climb into that top group, one of those top four, they're going to have to beat somebody in that top four. They've already lost to LaSalle. They've already lost to East. They have Hendricken and Portsmouth still. So this presents them with one of maybe only their two chances to break into the top four. They can win their other four games and lose to those four, and they won't make the playoffs. So this is a huge game for them in terms of getting into the playoff picture.
Absolutely. And Tolman, like I think we said earlier in one of these podcasts, that they moved up at a good time. They have a lot of talent. Led by Mamor Sam, their quarterback Brandon Dunlap is a really good player. You saw Tolman earlier this year, and what were your impressions?
I thought they looked good. I mean, they played Cranston East and lost 21-13. We've already, you know, spoken a bunch about how good we think East is, one of the better teams in the state, and Tolman gave them all they wanted, 14-13 late in that game in the fourth quarter. And what stands out for Tolman is not their size, because they're not huge, but they have skill players that stack up with anybody. When you think of the best skill in the state, you think the top teams that we've already mentioned, LaSalle, Hendricken, Portsmouth East. Those guys, they have all really, really, really top-level skill, and Tolman is right up there with them. You mentioned Somm and Dunlap, Robert Lima, another good running back, Napoleon Johnson, maybe the fastest kid I've seen on any team so far this year. So they're, you know, they're one juke, one missed tackle away from a big play at any time during the game, especially in the return game as well. Johnson's back there returning. Teams are going to be trying to kick it away from him. But one little mistake leads to the big play, and they prey on that, and they pride themselves on that. So, yeah, I think they can match up anywhere in Division I. It's just a matter of pulling what might be a slight upset somewhere along the line to get themselves back into the picture.
And Hendricken will be trying to avoid that upset. I think it'll be interesting to see because the Hawks are, you know, they tend to be a little young in certain spots, and they have to be careful not to buy into their success. They've gotten off to a really good start, 3-0. But, you know, that St. Ray's game was closer than it looked. South Kingstown was scoreless at halftime. Even the East Providence game last week kind of got away from the Townies. So Hendricken can't get caught up thinking, all right, we're up there. We're really, really good. Because Tolman is the kind of team that could easily jump up and bite them.
Yeah, I think that's true. But by the same token, I think it's good that Hendricken started with the schedule that they did because of the new guys they were breaking in, because of the inexperience on that team, get some of the games against some of the lower-level Division I teams, get that confidence up at least a little bit to where they go into this Tolman game, and they're thinking, okay, we are pretty good. We can play with Division I competition, and now they kind of have their feet into them a little bit when they're going to need it, because they could have played poorly in those first couple games, and I think they still probably would have won, and they didn't. You know, they played well, and they took care of business, but now they have to play well in order to win, and I think now they know that they can play well, which is good.
Yeah, that's a good point. Hendricken also showed some different things on offense last week, kind of opened it up a little bit. You were there against East Providence, and they were throwing the ball around a little bit.
Yeah, they were versatile. They looked like a team that can do a lot of different things. They only completed three passes, but all three were touchdowns.
Yeah.
All were pretty good length, three different receivers. Patrick Gill, the quarterback, looked good, looked comfortable, threw a really nice ball up the left sideline. Just looked like you had a good handle of the offense. In the running game, they were handing off to three people, four people. So a lot of different weapons. Power Kanga, the sophomore running back, looked really good. Remington Blue looked really good. There's a lot of different guys who touch the ball, and I think they feel really comfortable when any of them are touching the ball. So they're similar to Tolman in that regard, in that they have the skill guys that can get it done, and they like to spread it out a lot. But I was just impressed with the versatility, with the throwing and the running. I didn't know that Hendricken could throw it that well at this point in the season. So that's another feather in their cap and a weapon they have going into a big game.
Again, this game is Friday at 7 o'clock at Hendricken. And our prediction for this one, we're going to take the Hawks in a close one, 28-21. Let's stay in Division I and talk about Cranston West visiting number one LaSalle on Friday, also a 7 o'clock game. LaSalle, they lost their non-league opener a couple weeks ago to a team from Massachusetts. Since then, they have scored 84 points in two games. So they are they're on a little bit of a roll, I think, and looking like the team everyone thought they were.
Yep, and we knew they were good, and they are good. And they've had kind of the opposite schedule of Hendricken in that they've played two really good teams to start, assuming Tolman is a very good team. They've played two good teams. They beat Portsmouth and they beat Tolman, and beat them both fairly convincingly. At least the final score said so. We didn't see either of those games, obviously. Heard about them. It seems like it was competitive in the first half for both games, especially through the first quarter and partway into the second. And then LaSalle kind of clicks and they put everything together, and all of a sudden they show why everyone thinks they might be the best team in the state, and they take off from you. They beat Portsmouth 42-25. And they beat Tolman 42-20 last week. So we know how good their skill players are, and they've matched up well against two of the better teams in the state so far, whereas West, as we know, has struggled.
Yeah, West has had a little bit of a rough time. They opened with a non-league win over a team in Cumberland that's looking really good in D2. But then West struggled against Barrington, struggled against Portsmouth. You covered that Portsmouth game. They showed some flashes of good things. It was a 14-7 game at one point, and then just kind of fell apart.
Yeah, the pass coverage really hurt them. They gave up three long touchdowns in the first half. I mean, the Portsmouth quarterback, Bobby Chavis, threw for 270 yards in the first half.
Wow.
So, you know, that can't happen no matter who you're playing. You're going to lose games if you do that sort of thing. So I think that was the most glaring problem that they had. Offensively, they only put up 7 points, but I didn't think they looked bad, and that's not just lip service. I legitimately think they have a decent offense if they put it together. I thought Jeremy King looked okay throwing the ball. I think he had 16 or 17 completions. I think Joe Ciraldi's a legitimate running back. They spread it around in terms of who they throw it to. They had six different guys catch the ball. So there are definitely some parts in that offense that can get it done, but there were too many penalties, a lot of dumb plays. They drove it deep into Portsmouth territory three times and didn't score. So I think it's a matter of putting those things together, eliminating the penalties. And we keep mentioning it every week, but I think the comfort factor and the experience factor is a big deal for them. And it does seem like they're getting more and more comfortable, more experienced. And hopefully that'll start to show itself on the scoreboard a little bit, because they're really, really not that far off from getting 21, 28 points as opposed to the 7-0 they've had the last couple weeks.
Unfortunately for West, it does not get easier. No, I mean, talk about giving up a lot of pass yards to Portsmouth, and now they're going to go play maybe the best passing team in the state in LaSalle. So,
yeah.
So it definitely is a tough schedule for West. If they put it together, who knows? Maybe they can be in the game, maybe spring an upset. But I think at this point, LaSalle just has, with their skill players, has a really large margin of error and a tough team to beat.
Yeah, especially at receiver. You're talking about pass coverage. Keon Wilson and Tyneal Cooper, two of the better receivers in the state. And Anthony Francis, you know, kind of a dual threat quarterback. But when he does throw the ball, is one of the best passing quarterbacks in the state. So if West doesn't get that shored up, they're looking at a repeat performance through the air.
We'll take LaSalle in this one, 35-13. All right, let's talk about a Division II matchup. This one's between two of our teams, which we always like. We always enjoy that. We've got Johnston visiting Tollgate on Saturday at noon. And the Panthers ranked number 6 in the poll. And numbers-wise, as impressive as any team in the state, really?
Yeah, they have to be. They're scoring like crazy, and the other teams are barely scoring at all. So they have been absolutely dominant in every measure of the game on both sides of the ball. Throwing the ball, running the ball, pass defense, run defense, special teams. I mean, every aspect of football, they have just destroyed their opponents thus far.
Yeah, they have outscored their opponents in their actual games, taking out the injury fund, 120-12. So, I mean, in some cases, I think they haven't played the best. Mount Hope looks like they may struggle in D2. They played Pawnagansett, a D3 team. But they also played Woonsocket, and I saw Woonsocket this past week, and I thought Woonsocket was really good. So, I mean, Johnston beat up on them. So they're really playing well right now. Everything, I think, is kind of clicking for them, just like they hoped it would this year.
Yeah, at this point, the opponent might not matter. I mean, they have a showdown with Westerly later in the year, and that one is one everyone has circled on their calendars a little bit. But at this point, maybe only Johnston could beat themselves if they play poorly, because they have so many weapons, again, like we talk about, but they have 6, 7, 8 guys who are legitimate offensive threats through the air and on the ground. For instance, last week, they were running the ball so well, and it almost seemed like they said, we're running it too well. Let's throw it in the air because we can't. Because we can change it up because let's just try something new. Boredom isn't the right word, because I'm sure they weren't bored of scoring touchdowns, but they realized that they could just, they could exploit something through the air, so they did that too. It's just, there's a plethora of riches over there for them to deal with, and they've exploited every team they've played so far.
Yeah, they've taken advantage of what they have so far. On the other side, Tollgate has struggled 0-3, lost to Cranston East, and then two straight losses in Division II to Vets and Coventry. I think two teams that they had probably hoped to compete with, teams that maybe aren't at the top of the division. So Tollgate needs to put it together, needs to kind of find itself, and now they have to play probably the best team they've faced other than Cranston East. So it's kind of a tough matchup for the Titans, I think.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because they had those two teams to start with Vets and Coventry. And on paper, you think, okay, those might be two of your better chances at getting wins. You don't. And now, like you just said, now you get the team that's favored to maybe win that division or one of the favorites to win that division. So it certainly gets no easier. Against Vets, I think they were just disappointed. They didn't think they played very well. Tollgate, I mean. Against Coventry, 37-12. I don't know, not a ton of positives I wouldn't think you can take away from a game with that score when you kind of match up fairly evenly, at least athletically.
Yeah, because Tollgate had beaten Coventry last year.
Yeah.
It was like pretty similar teams. I mean, the one thing Tollgate might have going for it in this game is the head coach, Matt Mancuso, is a former Johnston assistant. Yeah. Should be very familiar with the Panthers' attack. But I think knowing schemes and that kind of stuff, it may not matter in the end just because of Johnston talent, I think, can overwhelm Tollgate a little bit. So we're going to take Johnston in this one, 42-6. Another D2 game to talk about. We've got Coventry visiting Vets on Saturday morning at 10 a.m. And early in the season, yes, but this is a very important game, I think, for both of these teams, the way the division is shaping up right now.
Yeah, like we were talking about in Division 1 earlier, you're kind of starting to see who's who in this division. And in order for Vets to get where it wants to go and make the playoffs, I think there's certain games they have to win. Mm-hmm. They might have to spring an upset here or there, but they're going to have to beat the teams that are similar to them talent-wise and are going to be battling with them for those middle playoff spots. Woonsocket was one of them. They lost that one last week. Now they beat Tollgate. That's another one of them. Coventry's same sort of thing. They're a team that probably isn't going to win the division, but is trying to capture one of those final playoff spots in the division and knows that, Vets is another team like that. So these guys are on the same plane. The winner of this game will have the tiebreaker over the other team and obviously a game advantage, a game in hand, just like that in the division. So a huge game, even though it's only the third game in league play.
Vets has been talking about approaching everything like a playoff game, so it's nothing new for them. But they'll definitely need a rebound. They kind of got buried early against Woonsocket. I think Woonsocket's speed maybe didn't surprise them, but it was, it's something different when you see those guys coming at you like Jalen Evans and Will Andino. And those guys have talent. It was 14-0 before Vets could even blink. Game ended up being 35-6, but it wasn't really that bad. I think You know, Vets had driven down the field at one point. If they scored there, it would have been 14-7. Instead, they miss a field goal. Woonsocket scores two plays later. It's 21-0. Then Woonsocket returns the opening kickoff of the second half, 28-0. So it was kind of like a perfect storm of bad things happening for Vets. And they were also a little shorthanded, missing their two starting middle linebackers, which was a tough position for them. So they'll be trying to kind of put that loss behind them and not get down because of that game, I think.
So you think that had things gone differently, they could have played with Woonsocket?
I think they could have played with Woonsocket, yes. I think, especially if they had their linebackers, I think that would have made a big difference, stopping Woonsocket's attack. The way it was, maybe it could have been closer. If they had those linebackers, David McDonald and Dennis Scalzo, then I think they had a better shot to actually hang with them. But yeah, I mean, if they had taken advantage of opportunities, if they had played a little better on defense and not gotten off to such a bad start, I think they would have been right there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, one thing to look for then with Coventry, you know, we know they like to run the ball too. They get Stryker Blue in the backfield, who's kind of their workhorse. So if those linebackers aren't back again for Vets, and we're not sure if they are, they're not going to be, you know, Coventry will likely be trying to exploit the middle of that defense again. So that could definitely be something to watch. Sort of on both sides, you know, Vets linebacking core and Coventry in the backfield. So that could be the key to whether or not Coventry's offense can break out a little bit or Vets can keep it together.
I did like what I saw from Vets' offense in the second half of that game. They were in a lot of option and it was working really well for them. I don't know if that's something they plan to stick with or if that was just based on Woonsocket's defense, but yeah, they look pretty good doing that, so that could be good.
And to elaborate on what we were saying earlier about the kind of the tiers, we've basically figured out that you got teams, if you're trying to make the playoff, your Vets and your Coventry, you probably got to beat Tollgate, which they both have. You have to beat each other.
Yeah.
You probably have to beat Mount Hope, the way it's looking, and then maybe spring an upset over one of the other teams. It looks like four wins is probably what it will take if everything shakes out. I know it seems like it's early to declare that, but that just it seems like that's the direction it's headed in. So, again, big one for Vets if they want to get there, get to that four-win plateau.
Big opportunity for them. We are going to take Vets in this one, 27-19. And sticking with another Division II game, we've got Central visiting Pilgrim on Friday, a 5 o'clock game. And Central making its debut in the poll at number 20 after a victory over Shea. And that statement is probably not the best news for Pilgrim.
No. If Central beat Shea, which they did, it was 12-6 last week. That's not great news when you talk about Pilgrim, because Pilgrim has also played Shea, and Pilgrim lost 35-0 to Shea in a game that was shortened to essentially just a half.
Right.
So, I mean, you don't need to prorate it out. I don't think they would have lost 70-0. But, you know, obviously things were not very good, and they only played a half of football. So if a Central team can beat a Shea team that crushed a Pilgrim team, for lack of a better word, you know, things could get a little messy here. You hope that Pilgrim has its feet under it a little bit now, because that's a couple weeks removed from that Shea game. You know, things might be a little more stable. But certainly on the surface, if you just compare those scores, you know, a little daunting right now.
Pilgrim scored 14 points last week, which is a positive for them, because their offense was really struggling against Shea.
Yeah.
On the downside, they gave up 49 to North Kingstown. So, you know, still definitely Pilgrim still feeling it out, still having the growing pains. If this is the week they can put it together, you know, maybe they hang in there. But again, Central, kind of like Shea, is a team that has some skill talent and is going to be faster than Pilgrim. With the quarterback Donald Johnson, tailback Amos Pay, Steven Perez, their wide receiver. So there's talent there that's kind of similar to what Shea brought to the table. And that's going to be tough for Pilgrim to stop.
And it's big play talent, too. Central was down 6-0 for most of that game to Shea. Got a long touchdown from Donald Johnson to Steven Perez. That got them their first touchdown. Then their second touchdown, 47-yard run by Amos Pay, got them down to the 2 or 3 yard line, and then he pounded in the next play. So they have that kind of ability, that quick strike ability. And for a young defense like Pilgrim, that's hard to contain, especially if you see one of them or you see two of them. Now you start thinking, you know, how can we stop these guys? They just ran for 80 yards twice in a row. You know, so if they can hang with them for a little while, obviously, again, more confidence. But a big key will be trying to stop those big plays the first half, especially.
We'll take Central in this one 35-14. In our final game to talk about on our schedule, we've got Central Falls visiting Cranston East in a non-league game. One of the Division I teams is always playing a non-league game.
I'd say East has earned the non-league
game. I think they have, yeah. East, we had talked about at the beginning of the year how they really wanted to get off to a good start, and they have done it in a pretty big way.
Yeah, they have. When I was doing their season preview for the newspaper, Their coach, Tom Centauri, said, we're playing Tolman at home, we're playing Barrington at home. Those are our first two league games. Those are games you got to win. We have to win those games if we want to do some damage in this division. Well, here we are after those weeks, and East is undefeated, the number three team in the poll, looking like one of the best teams in the state. And especially after last week's win, I think it would be really hard to argue that they're not one of the best teams in the state.
Yeah.
Beating Barrington 41-18, a Barrington team that is kind of in that middle tier, we think, with Tolman, and has a little has some playoff hopes. East really, really crushed him in the first half, took care of business there, and then kind of cruised in the second half and won by 23 points. So a statement win, I would think.
Yeah, and East kind of showed all its ability again. It seems to do it every game. They just flash what they can do. Alex Corvisi, the quarterback, threw four touchdown passes, three of them to Marvin Bobé, who's probably maybe the best receiver in the state at this point. And the other guys all got in on the act, too. I was struck. I talked to Alex Corvisi the other day, and he said, he didn't say, you know, I played awesome. I was throwing the ball really well. He just said, I was able to get the ball into the hands of Marvin, you know, and get the ball to EJ and get the ball to Markeem Monroe. And that's really his mindset. And that's perfect for this team because he doesn't have to win the game. He just has to get the ball to those guys because they're as good as anybody around.
Yeah, a lot of attention has been given to the running backs who have done great and have scored most of their touchdowns with EJ Eisman, Markeem Monroe, the guys you just mentioned. And Marvin has been great, but he always seems to be attracting double teams, and has been almost more of a decoy because he is so good, because he's so big, which I think has opened up the field for some of those other guys. But in this last game, yeah, I don't know if it was single coverage or what, but all of a sudden Marvin was available and they delivered him the ball. I mean, he has that kind of impact. He's almost uncoverable one-on-one with anyone in the state because he's 6'4" and he can run with anybody in the state.
Yeah.
So if he gets going, that's scary for the rest of the league. And I don't know how much him or the rest of the offense will even play this week going against Central Falls.
Yeah,
you would think they want to get a little bit of a breather after those games the last couple weeks and with some big Division I games coming up. But, you know, playing a Division IV team, I think they can probably afford to play their guys for a half. And if they get off and play like they did last week, they should probably have this thing locked up by halftime.
Yeah, I would think so. Central Falls, I think they're going to be up for the game and into it. They're coming off a 55-34 win over PCD, and PCD is not a great team, but 55 points is 55 points.
Sure.
So they've got some talent, and quarterback Brandon Canuto was the starter on their Super Bowl runner-up team last year. So they could pose some trouble. I think East, as long as they're not completely phoning it in, then they'll keep it rolling and get another victory.
I mean, there's a gap. The East is one of the best teams in Division I. I think Central Falls is probably one of the best teams in Division IV, but you're talking about a three-division drop.
Right.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. So we will take the Thunderbolts in this one, 40-12. Finally, one more game to talk about around the state. We've got Cumberland visiting St. Ray's on Friday at 7 o'clock, and that is at Paris O Field right next to McCoy Stadium. And this is an interesting one. We always pick one that we like because you've got two teams that are both in the top 15 and looking like the two of the best contenders in Division 2B. Cumberland's ranked 9th, 2-0. St. Ray's 13th, coming off a loss to West Warwick in a very similar game where they were playing a fellow Division 2 contender. So I think this one will be interesting to see kind of who takes the bull by the horns here and vaults up the standings.
Yeah, more important for St. Ray's, I think, than Cumberland. I mean, obviously Cumberland wants to stay in front of St. Ray's and wants to get the game to stay undefeated, but St. Ray's doesn't want to lose two games in a row to two teams it could be battling with for playoff spots. After losing to West Warwick, St. Ray's dropped a tier in, I think, some people's eyes. This is a chance to reestablish themselves as one of the best teams in 2B. A loss here and they go into that murky area, and we've seen it even last year. Johnston missed out on the playoffs with four wins because they drop a couple games where they could have won. And even though they're a really good team and they're probably one of the best teams in the division, there's tiebreakers and there's so many teams in Division II that things can get a little bit murky. So
yeah.
a big game for St. Ray's to get a win under their belt, or another win under their belt, rather, and avoid that second loss this early in the season.
Yeah. Those standings can get complicated very quickly in Division II, we have learned the last few years. So that game, again, is Friday at 7 o'clock. Should be an interesting one. Thanks for joining us here on the podcast. We will be back next week. In the meantime, enjoy the football. See if I've got you happy.